Peters Podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Way back at the beginning of Peter's podcast, my dear friend and student and now yoga teacher in her own right, Jenny Bloom, helped me out by talking with me a whole bunch of great times. And if you haven't ever listened to those, I would highly recommend that you look back through older episodes. But you can start with today because I got to catch up with Jenny Bloom and find out all about her recent trip to Asia, what she's teaching these days, and lots of excellent thoughts, as she's always likely to have. So without further ado, here's Jenny. Hope you enjoy it. Hi, Jenny Bloom.
Hey, Peter.
How's it going?
It's going.
Yay.
Yeah. Good to be back.
You've been traveling for a while. You've been back for a little while, but you've been traveling for a longer while.
Yep.
Yeah, where'd you go?
Big trip, mini world tour of Asia.
Uh-huh.
Me and my partner, Jackie Levy, went to 4 Asian countries.
Wow.
In 6 weeks.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Had you been to Asian countries in the past?
No. I've been to the Middle East, but not to Asia, not to Asia proper. And the Middle East isn't really Asia.
Right. Asia Minor.
Asia Minor, exactly.
Yeah.
But we went to Thailand,
which
is a beautiful, beautiful country. And we were in Bangkok, and then we went to the south to Koh Phangan and to Krabi and Maya Beach, which is the beach from the movie The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio. And we got to go under the water and way in the air. And then we went to Bali, which is gorgeous, beautiful. Like, it's not even a country because it's part of Indonesia. It's its own island, and it's an ancient... They have this ancient way of being with spirit and spirituality that is like permeates every aspect of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to India.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we went to Japan.
Mm-hmm. But Bali was like the main, or was...
Thailand was actually. Because Jackie had been to Thailand the year before and he fell in love with
it.
And so he wanted to bring me back with him.
Right.
And so I was like looking for cheap flights, and I found like a $600 flight round trip.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice. And so then you got to bundle in
these
visits to these other wonderful places.
Exactly. And some of it, you know, it was such an incredible opportunity to see how things play out when you surrender to what is happening. Like we only got our tickets. We got our tickets for Bali in the airport at JFK because they weren't going to let us on the plane if we didn't have a ticket out.
Oh.
And so instead of, you know, getting all upset, we were just like, okay, well, where are we going to go? And so we were like in the airport buying tickets, and Jackie's friends live in Bali. And so we had talked about going, but hadn't booked a ticket. So
right.
We just booked a ticket.
Spontaneous traveling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And it ended up being like so inspired. We were there on this holiday called Galugan. There are many, many holidays all the time in Bali, but this is this holiday where you connect with your ancestors and the spirit. And we went to this water temple, and we went through, it was such an incredible opportunity to feel what it's like when people set intention over hundreds and thousands of years. It's just real.
Yeah.
Like the place they had built this temple, it was such a holy place, and not because someone had decided, oh, this is holy. But it just literally had this energetic magnetic vibration that drew them to build this purification. Exactly.
Wow.
There were birds flying over the space in these patterns that reminded me of the patterns that you talk about. And when we look at those sand pictures in class, you know?
From vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
Mm-hmm.
So you were first in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And When you were in Thailand, you were visiting for like a recreation. Did you do, I mean, part of this sounds like it was pilgrimage and part of it sounds like it was just fun.
Yeah. I think a part of it was also a relationship thing. Mm-hmm. Like when you're dating someone and they have a strong desire to explore something, you know, it's not like I never thought of going to Asia, but it was very much why I went, that that my partner wanted to go.
Right.
So that being, you know, being a yogi, a lot of what we talk about in the philosophy of yoga is being in the right place at the right time and knowing how to move with what comes to you. Mm. And this whole, the whole trip was so much about that. We hadn't even planned to go to India, but we were in Thailand and we went to an Indian restaurant and the waiter was like, you know, India is 2 hours away. And we were like, what? We have to go.
Right.
I mean, okay, I was like that.
Yes.
And so it's just things play out in the most remarkable and unexpected ways. Mm.
Cool.
Yeah.
You want to talk about one of the events or unfoldings or?
Yeah. Well, like the India piece was... like we had originally gone because Jackie loves this island, this Koh Phangan island, which is in the south, and it's really an incredible place. People come from all over the world just to be on this island. Mm-hmm. And the beaches and the greenery and the jungle, and it's small, and the food, and there are lots of yogis and lots of people coming to do trainings there, and tantra is really big there, and so it's just a flurry of energy. And also, and then there are the dancers, people come to do these full moon parties. So we were like just kind of finding our bearings in this like maze of activity. And it started to rain. And it was just raining. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a little bit of a bummer to be in this island with this rain, this paradise, but it's raining. And we had a couple of encounters. We had an encounter with a bull who was like a lawnmower outside of one of our houses that we were staying in. And it was...
meaning he was mowing the lawn.
He was mowing the lawn. Yeah, yeah. This bull was employed as a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And so, and giant bull, really big, beautiful, black, like giant.
Yeah.
And he was just outside one day. We woke up and there was a bull. And then one day we came home and the bull was standing in front of our house.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get to our house
because
there was a bull.
Right.
And bulls are really big and...
yeah,
strong.
And they have this reputation of
they're no,
not
they're
letting
known.
You pass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we found a way to make it to the house. We each found our own way. Uh-huh. And kind of after that, we were like, maybe we should get off this island. Maybe this is not really where we need to be right now. And so we decided to go to this other, like pretty much a day's worth of travel to like another island on like another place in the south of Thailand. Mm-hmm. And then things sort of started to shift because the bull was only one of the animals that sort of made us feel unwelcome. Uh-huh. in Koh Phangan. We had a night of being chased by wild dogs on a motorcycle. And it was just, you know, it's vacation, like work vacation. You don't really want to feel that much anxiety, fear.
No. Sounds like, you know, a movie plot.
It really was. Yeah. And it was so, like, real.
Yeah.
And so we ended up on this place called Onang Beach, which is on Krabi, which is a different, like, piece of land coming out into the ocean. And that's where we were at the Indian restaurant, where we discovered that India was really close. Mm-hmm. And then the next morning, we woke up, and I was just like, let's do a panchakarma in India, okay? Uh-huh. And I just like...
Ayurvedic healings.
Yes.
Like five different acts of cleansing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which I actually did not know that much about. I didn't know... I as a yogi and a yogi who knows Ayurveda, I knew panchakarma was a thing to do for stress reduction and detoxification and all sorts of things that I definitely want. Mm-hmm. But I didn't... I had no idea how total and extreme it is. It is very total and very extreme. And we did not do panchakarma, but we found an ashram that does do panchakarma. Uh-huh. And we were looking at all these different places, and this one was in a very remote place with an organic farm. And it just, there was something about the exchange with the guy. I called them up and someone was immediately answering the phone. And I wasn't thinking, oh, this is India. This is a complicated endeavor. Mm-hmm. I was just like, this is like the next move we're going to mm-hmm. make, and this is where we're going to go. And I didn't even think about a visa or any of these other pieces that are right. like people who travel to India have right. like a lot of things to consider.
Right.
So we were just sort of in that like inspired moment of deciding to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm really fortunate to have the partner that I have because he was like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Rolled with it.
Rolled with it.
Yeah.
So
you were both doing the graceful living thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And once I got there, like, I mean, there were so many trials on the way to arriving there, like including getting a visa and will we get a visa? How do we get a visa? So much complications, the technology on the back end of the India visa website. And it's, anyway, it was complicated.
Yeah.
But once we got there, it was so obvious that that was exactly the perfect place for us to go. Hmm. I couldn't have planned it any better had I known.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't have planned it as well had I known.
Yeah, yeah. So the place that you went was mm-hmm. an ashram.
Yeah.
But they did Ayurveda there. Was that like the focus of the ashram?
It's called Ayur Yoga Ashram. Mm-hmm. And it was created by a very lovely gentleman who has lived in ashrams for a lot of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he happened to receive an ashram.
Wow.
It just came to him.
Yeah.
And so he set this ashram up in exactly the way that is most resonant for him of how he wants this sort of place to run.
Mm-hmm.
With healthy vegetarian food, organic farm that he farms the land and has built all of this farmy stuff,
mm-hmm.
these fields and right. the people, the local people work the farm. And then there's this big treatment space where they do Ayurvedic treatments. And there's an Ayurvedic doctor and there are Ayurvedic practitioners. And it's all designed like in the sort of feng shui style of Ayurveda.
Mm-hmm.
And it...
Do you know what that's called?
It starts with a V.
Mm.
It's really, really interesting. The entire place was designed in that way.
Uh-huh.
And what was incredible was it was like this big light-filled building with like an open atrium in the center and plants growing. And there was an entrance in the front and an entrance in the back and four rooms. And it was all symmetrical. And every day we would get up and go and do a treatment. And it was... So it was so profound. The treatments were wonderful, but it was also so profound to be able to give myself that time and attention to just focus on balancing what I needed to balance.
Mm-hmm.
And the discovery process of what comes up when you start to, like, I was balancing my vata. That was what was most out of balance for me. My airspace movement capacity mm-hmm. was a little bit too high for what my natural state should be.
Mm-hmm.
What would feel like good for me to be doing.
Yeah, your prakriti.
My prakriti.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so every day I would get up and they would pound me with these little medicine bags and cover my body with oil and hit my head and put me in a little teapot and and so many other things.
Did you have to sing the teapot song?
I did. Well, I remember Al had this story about the swamis that he grew up with in South Africa having one of these teapot things where they would steam their legs.
Mm.
So Al talks about like the, you know, how I think Mona talks about the unconsciousness that's in the backs of the legs, mm-hmm. but Al also talks about how the swamis were just doing that.
Huh.
And so it was...
What is this teapot like?
So you get a warm oil massage, which mm-hmm. is kind of like, I kind of felt like a chicken, you know? I was getting like moist and my skin was getting all moist and my insides were kind of getting soft. And then they put you in, you know, in your little paper diaper on a little seat. And it's like a tiny room, like, you know, if you were in first class on an airplane
mm-hmm.
and they could create like a contained space for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in and they have you sit in this exact location because you can't touch the walls.
Because they're hot.
Mm-hmm. And so, and then they close up, they close it up so that it all kind of comes to your neck. Mm. So your neck and your head are out and the rest of your body
is. It's like these 1960s weight reduction
things. Yes, totally. Okay. Totally. I actually really liked it. Uh-huh. At first I was very scared, but then I really liked it.
Okay.
And it chilled me out completely because you're getting steamed.
Yeah.
Like a chicken.
Yeah.
So if anyone at home makes chicken, whatever you're doing to your chicken is very similar to this.
That's what you have.
Yeah. But I don't make chicken, so I don't know if that's actually true.
Right. But. I don't think you steam chicken. I think you roast it or...
Oh, yeah.
Or boil it.
Boil it. Yeah. I was like a boiled chicken.
Yeah. So you had that same treatment multiple times, or you had...
Yes, every treatment is, you get it 3 consecutive days. Mm-hmm. So I had a morning and an afternoon treatment, and then sometimes I had 2 morning treatments. And I would get up, it's very easy to get up early because there's nothing to do at night.
Mm-hmm.
So
you go to sleep early.
Yeah, you go to sleep early, and it was very dark. We were on a river with a crocodile.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
And so at night we go out and look at the stars, and Jackie took incredible pictures of the stars. Mm. Does all this night photography. So literally you see there's Venus right there, and there's Mars, and there's Jupiter. And
I know we don't really think about it anymore, like mm-hmm. how they knew all the constellations and everything, because they mm-hmm. were so evident.
You could just see them. You just look up and you see them, and they're different constellations. Like we were there with Sagittarius. Sagittarius was in the sky, and you start to see the shape, and the mythology of astrology comes out of the shapes of the stars and the constellations. And when we would sit outside for a long period of time, you can see how the stars follow the rotation of the earth.
Mm.
And we were sort of close to the equator. We were in Mysore, so in the south, and someone told us that this place in Mysore had never moved. Mm. When the plates in the earth moved, you know, plate tectonics mm-hmm. and all the shifts, this place has always been exactly here. Mm. It's never moved. So it's one of the oldest places in the world. Mm. Ah, it was just incredible. So
when you were there, you were able to watch the stars moving.
Yes, exactly. And
like we watch the sunrise and morning at the beach or something.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And then... easy to go to sleep, easy to wake up. I would get up before dawn. I would go, I would meditate. Mm-hmm. The first day we got there on New Year's Eve.
Nice.
So yeah, it was just perfect. I got up the next day to meditate, and I think I might've gotten the location wrong, or maybe no one got up that day, but I was the only one there.
Mm.
So I was like, well, great. I know exactly what I want to do.
Right.
So I did my practice. It was just exactly what I needed. And as I sat, the sun rose.
Mm.
And when I opened my eyes, it was bright.
Jyoti.
Jyoti. Full manifestation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool. I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Jenny. This is the part of the podcast that I like the least, but I like it much more than having to read advertisements about food services, car services, other courses you could take, mattresses you could buy, ways you could spend your money that have nothing to do with Peter's podcast. So I've been doing this effort to encourage folks to go to patreon.com, which is a crowdsourcing method that I use to fund the entire podcast. Thank you so much for those of you who have done that. I'm sorry that you have to listen to me say this again, but I would love it if you're not a supporter of Peter's podcast, if you would head on over to patreon.com/Peter's podcast and support the podcast at any level you like. There are a couple special levels with some bonuses, including the opportunity to talk to me, which you could take advantage of one time or on a recurring basis. So check it out, patreon.com/Peter's podcast, and thank you. Here's the rest of my talk with Jenny. Enjoy. So how long were you in India?
We were in India for 12 days.
Wow. Something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
And the whole trip was how long?
Whole trip was 6.5 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. But, you know, time changes when you're away from everything that you know.
What did it feel like? Longer, shorter, variable?
It felt like entering a new state of being. Like, it just was being in a different way in the world, and like the freedom to not have to conform to the normal modes of being that are so familiar in regular life. Like, oh, obviously I get coffee when I wake up because, you know, that's what I do.
Right.
And actually it was really interesting when we were in Bali, I got a massage from this incredible practitioner. And she was like, she didn't speak a lot of English. I don't speak any Balinese Hindu. So she just was like, she would poke in places in my body and be like, oh, not good. Not good.
And those were the only words she knew.
Yeah, not good. And then she would Google Translate, and she was so right on about what she was telling me. And she was like, no more oranges, no more coffee. Hot water early in the morning. And I, you know, sometimes when someone tells you something and you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
And you take it.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, as yogis, you can ask your teacher for some sort of recommendation. They can give you exactly the thing and you can just totally disregard it.
Yeah.
But it kind of showed me how powerful it is when someone makes a suggestion and you trust the suggestion and you trust their experience.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the familiarity with teachers, you know, your teacher could say, you know, you really need to hold these poses for longer.
Right.
And you could say, you don't know me. And this could be your teacher for like years.
Right. No, that's true. What did they say? Familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
That is less than contempt, but a disregard.
Right. Yeah. It's so funny. But I think that's another reason why traveling can be so refreshing, because you go somewhere, someone tells you something you've heard before or known before, and you're like, oh, wow, you get it.
Yeah.
But it's just a wisdom that's been, everyone's been telling you.
Totally. Well, that's the nature of learning, period. You know, that's why we have to keep learning the same thing.
Yeah.
And attending the trainings again and rereading the same texts and thinking about them once more. And finally, it's like, oh, right. And then to even figure out how to be able to say any of this stuff as a teacher is this whole additional way, because sometimes the way that you know how to say it makes sense to you, but it wouldn't get through to somebody else, or it would get through to some of the somebody else, but not everyone.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. It's so true. It's so true. I think that as a teacher, and I'm back on the schedule. It feels so good to be back teaching.
Yeah, Ishta Yoga is 7:30 Tuesdays.
Yeah, 7:30 Tuesdays.
Yeah,
your
I know that
class
time slot.
For 10 years, right?
That's well, even longer. Before Ishta was here, I was teaching that class.
Oh my gosh.
At B Yoga and Yoga Works.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for I mean, I don't know why
your
you're not teaching
now.
It anymore, but it's just, and I used to go to your class at that time.
Yeah, and I think you assisted it a few times.
Yeah, and I assisted.
So there you go, you're prepared, well prepared.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's good. The reason I bring it up is that, like, figuring out how to say something to people and having gone on this trip and figured out all of this stuff for myself, in myself, about my awareness, about my yoga, about my body, about my mind, and learning that, and when coming back and figuring out how do I translate this really deep experience that I've had into like sound bites and nuggets that I can give people. And it's a worthy pursuit, because it's not easy.
Yeah. And that's another thing as a teacher, you know, we study at the level that we're at, and our students are studying at the level where they're at. Not that it's higher or lower, it's just a different place. You're coming from a different place.
Right.
And so as you do your own work, you're just preparing yourself to meet others where they are, you know, that you have more resources to work with and you have a more thorough understanding of things, mm-hmm. more experience to bring.
I think that you touched on something that has really been occurring to me lately, which is that, like, I'm no farther along than anybody else. Like, I may be teaching a yoga class, but that I still have the things that are really hard for me and the things that are that I've gotten better at. Mm-hmm. And to be a teacher and to really understand that you're in this the same way every single person who comes to your classes, and yeah. we're all doing the same thing of becoming aware of what we're not aware of and becoming aware of our own magic. And mm-hmm. some people are, you know, having a day where they're really tuned into themselves, and some people are having a day where they're not really tuned into themselves. And we're all in a different place on that continuum.
Yeah.
No one is better or worse. Mm-hmm. And to not just have that as like a thought, but to really like get it.
Yeah.
In like the experiential piece.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a gift.
Yeah.
Because then you get to learn from everybody.
Right. Right. You put your ego in the place it belongs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And yeah. You know the Hanuman story.
Fill us in.
I've always been really inspired by Hanuman. We had in our teacher training when we did the 300-hour, we had this guy who comes and travels the world with Murti.
Yeah.
A Murti wall.
Statues.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So he came and gave us a talk about the different archetypes and the different deities, and he told me, like, for me it was Hanuman.
And so
I got this Hanuman from him. It took me like a couple years to pay it off because it was very expensive. And
he was good with that.
He was
sales
so good.
Job. Yeah.
We all went home with yeah. something we paid off for years. But what was interesting about being in Bali, I bought this Hanuman book, and it was really interesting to read the story, because Hanuman is this monkey prince who's, I think his father is the god of wind and his mother is incredible human, and they come together and they make a baby who's Hanuman, who is this magical baby. And as a young person, he's very reckless and breaks into all of these like temples and steals all of their prasad, all of their like holy snacks, and like just is a nuisance.
Yeah, the mischievous child.
Mischievous child. Without a strong way of dealing with his power. So what the priests do is they get together and they put a spell on him that he will forget how magical he is. And so he just kind of gets lost for his teenage years and doesn't have much purpose, doesn't know why he exists, doesn't know what the meaning of it is for him. And at some point later, he's in the woods and he ends up meeting Sita and Ram, who are this incredible couple in Indian mythology and Hindu mythology. And he
incarnation of Vishnu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Incarnation.
Comes to the mm-hmm. world because evil is taking over the world.
Wow.
And he comes to set it right.
Wow.
Because the main deity of evil is, he's been granted a boon by Brahma that he cannot be killed by any god. So no one can take him out when they see how he's disrupting the world. So Vishnu incarnates as a human.
Wow.
So that he can deal with him.
Wow.
In a way that the boon doesn't cover.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that part of the story. So Hanuman meets Ram, who is this human who Vishnu has incarnated as. Mm-hmm. And they become best friends. And Hanuman just like is just so like just like, this is a great guy. I just want to hang out with him all the time. I just want to help him. And then right around that time, Sita had been kidnapped
yeah.
by this bad guy.
By the evil.
Ravana.
Yeah.
And taken away. And so this love is like, you know, in peril. And Hanuman, in his desire to serve his new friend, says, let me do whatever I can. And so becomes part of this like effort to save Sita from
yeah.
this bad guy. And he discovers in his service to his friend that he can jump these huge distances and ends up jumping across this ocean and finding Sita and saying, Sita, I found you. Can I take you back to your beloved? And mm-hmm. she says no, because maybe modesty mm-hmm. or she's a young girl. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know this monkey guy.
Right.
So she's like, no, but she believes that because he has Ram's ring.
Right.
So she believes him, but she says, I'm not going to come with you. So he goes back and he tells Ram that he found her, and Ram is so overjoyed, and pretty much it inspires this major war that goes yeah. on for a really long time.
Yeah.
And eventually good is restored in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
And it's all about how, actually, I was talking to Wendy about this. So, like, I want to bring her in too. But it's about how when the ego is in service, it can be good. It yeah. can be very good.
Yeah.
Our ego is not a bad thing. But when it's not oriented correctly, when it doesn't know who it really is, it doesn't have proper guidance,
yeah.
it can just be totally out of control.
Yeah.
But when we learn how to make the ego in service
yeah.
of something greater than itself,
yeah.
it all works out beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah, because the ego wants to be the centerpiece of the story, whatever the story is.
Right.
You know, and it's writing its own story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we need it. It's our individuality. Mm-hmm. So in this manifest realm, we need our individuality. We have a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's quite lovely when Hanuman goes, he could have easily won the war, but he knew his role. It was Rama's job mm-hmm. to take care of that. And it was Rama's job to rescue Sita.
Wow.
So he did his part.
Yeah,
but he wasn't the
hero
of the story,
right?
Except that he was
right,
because we all are in our own roles. Yes. You know, as we're fulfilling our roles.
Yes. And it's so heartbreaking to be a human, because you're not always the most important person in every
yeah.
story.
Yeah. Except that you are.
But I think that is such a profound thing that I got from the trip too.
Mm.
Being able to really sink into who I am.
Yeah.
And I don't need to be like the world's most famous yoga teacher. Like, if that happens,
but you
cool,
may yet be, right?
That may happen, but it's not a reflection of my value.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be something that I'm trying for.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like coming back to like who you really are. When
right.
you feel and experience who you really are, what is you? Like, what is that? Who is the aware? Yeah. What is the aware?
Yeah. You are that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But awesome. The sadness, you know, I think is also part of that picture.
Sure.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, this like, it's such a beautifully crafted world of experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it has all of these components that make this story so rich and wonderful and amazing and shocking, and you know, just this idea of you walking home and there being a bull in front of the door.
Yeah.
I mean, what an outrageous experience. Like, if anybody in New York City tonight walks
yeah.
home, they will not find a bull in
yeah.
front of their door,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so even just to imagine that could happen somewhere.
And I didn't even tell you the whole story. Like, it was like, I figured out how to walk so the bull wouldn't get me.
Wow.
And then I kind of was almost out of its grasp. And then I heard this, somebody's yelling, run!
If you're a 500-hour graduate of an ISHTA training program, boy, do I have something exciting for you. March 4th through 10th, so coming up soon, we have the ISHTA Masters Program. This is a program that I myself could not get enough of last time we taught it, which was 2 years ago. It doesn't come up that often. This year, it's going to be taught by Alan Finger, Sarah Finger, Mona Anand, Wendy Newton, Ulrika Norbury, Katrina Repka, and myself. Not to be missed, Monday through Sunday, 8:30 to 5:30. So check it out at ishtayoga.com. I would love to see you there. It's like a bunch of masters sharing so that you too can gain mastery over a whole range of topics. We deal with it from the perspective of the koshas and practices that help you work at all these different wonderful levels. Maybe Micah will even be there. She's walking right around me here, clicking her little claws on the ground.
Maybe she'll teach downward facing dog.
But all seriousness, I actually went to the entire training last year because I was so interested in hearing what everybody had to say. So come check it out, ishtayoga.com, under teacher training, master's program training. See you there.
It's quite a drama, this life.
Yeah.
Even without creating any extra drama.
Right. But then it makes for such amazing experiencing. And, as soon as we start to notice that they're like, the outcome isn't going to be the thing that's a deal maker, right? Or a change moment. It's just another experience.
Right.
Then all the experiences are equally valid. They're all equally here. Mm-hmm. They're the same, just like all the people are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have this crazy political thing going on of this dehumanization of peoples, and perfect example. Mm-hmm. All those people are just us, and they're just in a different situation right now. And everybody gets in this weird head game where they're just an other or they're an inferior.
Right. Like, it makes me think of Alexandra Ocasio, who's totally in the middle of the public eye right now. And 2 years ago, she was a bartender in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And she's so smart and she's so talented. Yeah. And she was probably sitting there so frustrated.
Yeah. Because she had been a Senate aide or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or an intern. I can't remember which.
Exactly. Like, she had been in Washington and then she went back and was kind of doing the thing, as New Yorkers, people, or anyone who lives in a city or in modern life.
Sometimes, making a living.
Yeah. You got to make a living. Yeah. You got to do something that isn't necessarily what speaks to your heart. But she kind of got involved in a movement to bring people who aren't pedigreed into government. And she is a phenomenon.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And it's so inspiring to so many people, I think.
I just spoke about her in my last podcast and meditation on Saturday
cool.
because it just strikes me that she's like Shakti and Shiva expressing in the right balance,
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So. And it brings me so much hope because I think in the wintertime right now, it can be really dark for people. It is for me in a lot of ways. And to be remembering how even in those moments where you've forgotten your magic and your incredibleness, that you still have that. That's still in you in the same way that it was when it was fully manifested, even if you're not actually experiencing it in how you're seeing the world right now.
It takes patience and a willingness to be in the play, to be in it without an attachment to what's happening or where you think it's going or what the result is or what the result just was, but to still carry on. One foot in front of the other, be in this moment. And it's super hard. I mean, I just said it really easy, right?
Yeah.
But it's super hard.
It's easier when you look at other people, I think. Like Jesse Gurdjieff, right? Who's in Texas right now, she's an Ishti who taught here and is bringing yoga into all of these office spaces and has this incredible company. And it's just such a joy to see her blossoming, because it wasn't like that for her a couple of years ago, and now it's like that for her. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting to watch her grow and to grow this company and bring yoga into so many offices and so many new spaces that don't normally have yoga.
Yeah.
But
and that's the flip side, that that just because you're in every moment and just because you're letting go and not being attached to any particular thing, it doesn't mean that you don't dream of what could be and then make that, try to make that happen. You know, it's just that, like, it's a destination or a sign out there that you're aiming towards, but what will actually come, we'll see. You'll see, and can you be okay with that? And then,
and whether or not you can or can't,
but well, most of us have somewhere on that thing, right? But if you're working in that way, I think it's much more likely that you're going to find whatever comes, you're good with that. You know, it's like you're allowing then to see where the stream takes you, the row, row, row your boat stream,
right?
You know,
right. Right. And then it's like, you're like Goldilocks. You're not, you know, you're not trying to make the thing happen. And like, you know, while like blades are racing at your face and you're not like, you know, a bowl of oatmeal on the floor.
Doing nothing. Yeah.
You're finding a way to engage with your challenges.
Yeah. Being enthusiastically sattvic about whatever is going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And surrounding yourself with people who can remind you of what that really means.
Yeah. Which you will naturally attract when you are engaging with your stuff you care about. You start to be around those kinds of people.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. That's like a piece of advice after spending, you know, decades like trying to play music and trying to do this, trying to do that. It dawned on me that whatever it is that you're doing, that's what you're building up. And those are the kinds of people you're meeting. And so that's where opportunities start to show up. So if you want to do something, figure out, how do I get to the place and the people I want to be working around and with and where I want to have that happen? And just keep engaging with that. Even if it's like for free, on the side, once a week, you know, just make those opportunities, because then that's what will grow, you know?
Yeah.
And even if it's like always on the side, you're still engaged in it.
Yeah. And it feeds you.
Yeah.
Because that's
exactly
the thing. Like, something can't
it's
feed
like a
you.
Part of you.
Totally. Yeah. And if you're not giving it like oxygen and sunlight and nutrients, it doesn't have any of the things it needs.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny because it ebbs and flows too. Like we evolve, we make changes, you know? Like Al once said to me, it's funny that you waited so long to become a teacher, you know? He said, it's like you must have had something that you needed to work out first, you know? And it totally felt that way, because I was so engrossed in what I was doing, arts-wise, and it felt like yoga. I mean, I was doing yoga too, and it was like, these are the same thing. It's just like, they just have different form, like different media, you know?
Yeah, like on your website or Instagram.
Yeah,
you're like expressing it.
Right, but it was like, yoga was a way to get into this space, and then I could, from that space, access this wonderful art that I was fooling with, you know, and that was very cool.
And now you're leading retreats with artists who are like making that connect, who you're making the connection with on that side.
Yeah. And then, you know, and I stopped doing a lot of art for a few years even, you know, and lately I had this opportunity to do music more again with Lindsay, and I just bought a new bass, and I'm like, you know, on YouTube learning some new licks and stuff. It's just kind of fun. It's like it's come back around in another place within the spectrum of what I do. But it still feels like it's something important, and I'm letting that part come back in anew, in a new way. And that feels cool.
Yeah. That is cool. I love your new album.
Thanks.
It's really great.
Psych Rock Kirtan.
Yeah.
Shiva Shakti.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. What are you teaching tonight?
What am I teaching tonight? Well, I've been reading the Upanishads lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really into this image of a traveler. Like, I've been reading the Eknath Eswaran intro to the Upanishads, mm-hmm. and he describes the Upanishads as like a travel log of all of these incredible journeys that people took within consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really inspired by, like, in some ways I can be kind of lazy. Or I don't know. I think of myself as lazy. It may not be true. I did this world tour already in the last couple of months, and I'm like, what's next? In my mind, like, I'm like, well, how do you get more active in a particular way? Like, I'm always looking for some sort of inspiration. And because I don't really know exactly why I should tell people to hold Warrior Two for mm-hmm. 5 to 10 breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I know that it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to, as a teacher, bridge that gap of saying, this is like when we're going on a journey to the Himalayas and we need to prepare for the journey. And there are things that we need to do, like buy a good backpack and mm-hmm. get our legs to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so being with our legs as they start to talk to us in this way is a very significant piece of accessing that higher spiritual wisdom
yeah.
or that goal that you have in your life. And, you know, all the while they're holding Warrior too.
So
I'm always fascinated by, like, habits. Like, how do we make this into a habit? How mm-hmm. do I get into my practice every day without being really mean to myself or telling myself I'm lazy, which is what I've figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably what I'll teach tonight. Maybe mm-hmm. some dancer pose.
Uh-huh. That's cool. We did dancer pose in teacher training today.
Oh, amazing. You know, it's like, it's so cool the way that we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think last week it was twists, right? I was doing twists and then I came mm-hmm. to your class and you were doing twists. Mm-hmm. And I went to another class and it was more twists. And it was like, yeah, like we all are getting the same download.
Yep.
That's needed.
Yeah. Here at this vortex on mm-hmm. East 11th Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A hub.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, it's been really nice to catch up.
So good to catch up with you.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yay, Peter's podcast.
Yeah. And so you're teaching your class mm-hmm. on Tuesday nights here.
Two for Tuesdays.
What's the other time on Tuesdays?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
In the afternoon, restorative.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Another opportunity to talk about the Upanishads.
Yeah.
Different. Upanishads.
Yeah.
And then 7:30 on Tuesdays.
Nice.
Intermediate.
Excellent. And then you're continuing on with all the other studying and
yes,
training that you've
polarity
been.
Training and, yeah. and Urika's gonna be here, so I'm gonna be in the yin training.
Oh, fantastic.
So that'll be nice. And
yeah.
And then there's the massive masters training that's coming up, which I think is it's like all-star team. Katrina's coming.
Katrina is coming from London. Katrina Repka, who mm-hmm. wrote the chakra book.
Right.
Yeah, very cool. Breathing Space, she mm-hmm. wrote also.
Yeah, oh, I like that mm-hmm. one.
Yeah, well, awesome. All right, Jenny, we'll be seeing you around.
Yes, please.
Yes. All right.
I look forward to it.
All right, namaste.
Namaste.
So that's my conversation with Jenny. I hope you've enjoyed it. I sure did. I always love talking with Jenny. She's such a dynamic person with so many great insights. I would love it if you would go to iTunes, or if you have an Apple phone, you can just scroll down to the bottom of this episode notes and rate the podcast. It will help it appear in more people's searches. It'll get us a lot more airplay and help people gain information that you're coming to Peter's podcast for. So thank you so much. I get to see not who exactly is listening, but where people are listening. And it's amazing to see listeners all over the globe. So thank you so much. And I will see you next time. Namaste.